Welcome back to the 312 show. I'm your host, Ollie Katz, here alongside Zach Joshua. Today we have a very special episode. We have co-host here on the mics, Trevor Boyd, previous guest. Say what's up, Trevor.
What's good? What's going on, everybody? Thanks for having me back, guys.
Yep.
We have a very great episode coming up for you guys today. We're going to be talking some modern day sports as well as some pop culture and maybe some other stuff. We'll get into it right now.
Yeah, so, you know, Trevor, you and I have been talking a lot of baseball recently.
No doubt.
A lot of baseball.
No doubt.
You know, I know you're a Cubs and Sox fan.
Yeah, I might get crucified for that.
Yeah, so it's a 312 show, so I think it's right that we start with Cubs and Sox. Kind of give us the rundown of what's been going on with both teams.
Cubs came out swinging, man. Cubs came out really hot. What did they win, like 9 of their first 10 games?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Something crazy. They came out really hot, slowed down in the Milwaukee series when they started playing Milwaukee and St. Louis. But the bats have looked great for the most part. There have been a lot of surprises, like Ian Happ being stepping up this year. He's looked great. The pitching staff has been really good for the most part, one of the top pitching staffs in baseball. We've had to deal with a couple of slumps, though. Like Chris Bryant still hasn't hit his groove. Javi just started to hit his
just started,
last night.
Yeah.
Two homers. That first oppo bomb was ridiculous. But they've looked good for the most part. They're 18-10. I think they're the second best team in the National League behind the Dodgers.
Yep.
So we're about halfway through the year, and I couldn't be happier with how they've been playing.
Yeah, I mean, there's been also a lot of surprises, as you were saying, like the team leaders. I mean, yeah. Ian Happ is leading and hitting in almost every category. You got Yu Darvish, a guy that we all thought was a bust, is our best pitcher right now. And
great.
I think it's just it just shows that when these other guys step up, we're going to have a great team and it's going to be even better. So the Cubs just played the Sox.
So that, like I said, I'm a Sox fan too,
yeah.
Which, you know, some people may not like it, but I don't care what you think. No. But, Sox have looked great too. The Sox, I think, are in second place. They're in second place in the AL Central, 17-12. And they've won 7 of their last 10. And Jose Abreu went to Wrigley and lost his mind. He had 7 home runs in 3 games. But the Sox offense is just dangerous. They're dangerous. They can really hit.
I mean, how many home runs did Abreu hit? Like 5?
7? 7. Something crazy. But yeah, I think it was 7.
Yeah. I mean, that's wild.
So, if their pitching staff, if their starting pitching, if their rotation does what they're supposed to do, and they just keep stringing together hits like they have been all year, and, you know, they've been able to drive the ball out of the park, but they've been able to hit. They have professional hitters. They got Encarnacion. They got the batting champ in Tim Anderson. You got the rookie Robert. They've all been playing.
It's so crazy. It's scary.
2008 all over.
It's scary as a fan of the North Side. You know, it's scary seeing a bunch of young guys that are beating us now.
Yeah.
You know.
You know, we've also been through it. You know, with the 2018 team, where offense is just so powerful, and you've got a great young pitching staff.
Yeah.
Veteran led lefty like Lester, and now on the south side you got Keuchel.
Mm-hmm.
So future's looking bright for both teams.
Yeah, it's exciting for sure.
So we're halfway through the season. Well, almost. The Cubs are 18-10.
Yep.
Currently they're in a series with the Tigers, and then they go to Cincinnati to play the Reds. So, if the Cubs do sweep the Tigers, they are in competition with the Reds for the next series.
Right.
The Reds are also playing good baseball.
They are.
Not so much record-wise, but they look as though they are a team that can compete. They're not doing so hot in the NL Central currently. Only a 13.5% chance to make the postseason at their 11-16 record in fourth place in the NL Central. But what do you think of this Reds team?
The Reds were a team that I was really scared of coming into this year. And my dad, he was, you know, from Cincinnati, grew up there, he was raised there all of his life. So I have ties to Cincinnati, and I've always been a guy that, you know, when I'm with my family, I make fun of them about how mediocre and bad their team
has been
the last couple of years. But they got a lot of firepower out there too. Their pitching staff is like one of the best in baseball.
Sonny Gray.
Sonny Gray, Bauer.
Bauer.
Castillo. Those are three guys that are, when they're on, they're pretty much unhittable. And, you know, you got an MVP in Joey Votto who can lead that offense.
Castellanos.
Jeez, he's been ripping it up over there.
Yeah.
But they have a lot of guys. Nick Senzel, Moustakas, who they got from Milwaukee. It's a good team. And I thought that this year they would be, you know, ready to go right away in the Central. But I think they had to deal with a little bit of some Rona stuff early on in the season. And they just haven't been able to really hit their stride offensively. But for years to come, like for the next couple of years, they're going to be really good.
Yeah, and
problem for the Cubs in the Central.
And they were predicted to be first in the NL Central.
Yep.
I mean, they were the Cubs weren't predicted to be good. And it's just been – I feel like it really describes the year. It's just been unpredictable. You know, the Padres being one of the best teams in baseball. I mean, it's insane. So we talked about Fernando Tatis last episode. What do you make out of it? What do you think of him?
He's a star, man.
Yeah.
Oh. And, you know, I think he's playing it the right way. And I remember, you know, I saw all the tweets that the guys were sending out to him after, you know, guys were telling him not to swing on 3-0. Come on, you know, it's 2020. We can't live in 1940 anymore. You know?
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to throw me a cookie on 3-0, I'm going to hit it out. And, you know,
yeah,
that wasn't no cheap home run. That was an opposite field bomb to right center.
So, yeah.
The kid's great. Machado looks good. Hosmer. I feel like, you know, it's about time for San Diego to have a good team. They haven't had a winning season in like 10 years, so.
Yeah.
It's sick to see.
We'll see what they do in the back half because, you know, you see a lot of these teams. I know the Diamondbacks, like, in the past few years, they've been the team. They've been really good at the beginning of the season and then completely fell off. So we got to see. It's all about, like, what the Cubs do at the end of the season. They always end up choking. I think if they get past that stride, they're going to be easy in the playoffs with the one seed or – you know, with the bye or whatever, however the MLB playoffs work this year.
It's kind of confusing.
Yeah.
But is today Monday or Tuesday? Monday, right?
Tuesday.
Okay, so the MLB, they do every Tuesday, they put out like a what the postseason would look like if it ended today. So I think the Cubs would be two playing whoever the seventh seed is. I haven't looked at it yet.
Yeah.
But it's just interesting to see because there's, what, 10 teams in it now?
16. In the MLB?
Oh, it's 16? So it's 8-8 on each side?
Yeah, 8-8, yep.
Okay. It was 10 teams total last year. That's crazy.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
8-8. So
and no wild card, too, which is my favorite game.
The wild card game is great, unless you're in it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we've had to deal with that twice in the last
month. I was there in Pittsburgh, 2015. I was there.
That was one of the scariest nights of my life.
Geez. Yeah.
But – you know, when you win, it's great. And 2015 was always going to be a magical year, even though we didn't win. That was kind of like the blueprint.
But, yeah, exactly.
I really kind of do like the expanded roster, especially in a year where there's going to be, you know, no fans. So fans can watch like double the amount of games.
Yeah.
On TV. And they did like games last year where they were like, you know, four games a day. But now that's going to be regular. So I'm really excited. I think that's one of the good things that the MLB has done recently.
Yeah. What do you think about the, you know, I love this new rule, the 7-inning doubleheader.
I like that.
I think they should do that every year. Right. Every year.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's a good rule.
Here's the thing about the 7-inning doubleheader. All right. You have to look at it from a baseball player's point of view. It's 14-plus innings sometimes. And the reality is, if you're going to play a 60-game season, I would much rather play one game a day for 2 months than, you know, two games every so often for 1.5 months.
These are makeup games, though.
Yeah, I know, but the difference between one 9-inning game and two in separate clean slate 7-inning games has got to be somewhat of a mental and physical challenge for these players. And that's why, yes, it might be very efficient, but I don't think it's going to be continued after this year.
I mean, it also allows the MLB to get, and you're right, it might not be the best thing, but it's efficient for what we have to do now.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And I think they're playing two games. Like, I think the rule is, you know, when you watch the first game, it'll be like, yeah, our broadcast will come back 45 minutes after this game. It's like, okay, it's baseball, so you're not really, you know, and I'm playing baseball. This is not a naive state. I played baseball, so it's not like a state where I don't know what I'm talking about. But baseball, it's not like basketball where it's like, go, 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 go. Like, baseball, you can afford to kind of play. And every kid that grew up playing baseball knows about playing 3 or 4 games a day within, like, 45 minutes.
You know? Yeah.
So I think it's kind of like a cool thing where it brings it, you know, it's like the MLB slogan. I don't know if they still use it, but it's like, let the kids play. It's like, you know, it's like a tournament day on a Saturday in July.
And I think it's better for the players because you're using less pitching.
Right, yeah.
I mean,
you don't have to go deep into your bullpen.
No, the starter can pitch 4 innings.
Yep.
You know, and then he can pitch the next day or you can pitch 2 days after that, you know.
Just bring a setup guy and a closer depending on. You don't
exactly.
Have a couple middle relievers or anything.
Exactly.
So, I exactly. feel like it works for what we have to do now. And if
that's very true. And, very true.
And the way the league's going, you know, pitching is you know, guys are getting hurt a lot more because they're putting a lot more force. There's a lot of, you know, extra velocity. And I think that if they do this with the doubleheader, it'll allow pitchers to be, you know, safer with their arms, you know.
So, yeah.
I think it works. I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't be opposed to it, you know, happening outside of this pandemic season.
Yeah, I love it just as a fan because it's just quick games, you know.
Yep. Sick.
Yeah. So I think we're good on baseball. Okay. I think we should move on to some basketball.
Let's do that.
Obviously, Luka Magic. I think we got to start with him. I mean, buzzer beater to win the game against Paul George, maybe not the best right now, but – I guess Kawhi Leonard, 2-time NBA champ. I mean, this dude's a sophomore. You gotta break this down for me. How is this happening?
Okay, there's a lot of things we could talk about in regards to this play and this game. So if you're watching the game like I was, you'd know that Kristaps Porzingis was out with a knee injury, and the game before, Luka had sprained his ankle. Didn't look good. I didn't think he was gonna play. But when I found that Porzingis was out, I said, okay, I know Luka's going to be up to the challenge. Clippers came out hitting. They went up 21 in the first half. And, Mavericks bring it together a run. They go to overtime. This game was nuts. I couldn't believe what I was watching when I was watching this game. This game was crazy. Like, the way that Lou Williams was playing, he had, I think, 36 coming off the bench, which is huge for the Clippers, huge, because they don't have to do, you know, they have that score in the guard position because, you know, Reggie Jackson isn't really a scorer like that.
Right.
Beverly's not really a scorer like that. So to have him, his production, and you know he's going to give you 20 every night off the bench. He was hooping. Kawhi was balling. Paul George wasn't balling, which is kind of like, it doesn't make any sense to me because I'm a huge Paul George fan.
Yeah. I got the hoodie on too.
Yeah, I know. I have all of his shoes, like – I love dude, and I've been a fan of him since he was in Indiana, but
9 points?
9 points.
That's unacceptable.
Isn't he shooting like 23% from the field?
Probably. And he's got, you know, I look a lot at plus minus. He's got he had a minus two plus minus in that game. If you're not scoring, at least dish the ball. Make something happen, you know?
And it might be because he's playing against Seth Curry and Doc Rivers is his coach. I don't know if you know about the whole stuff with Seth Curry and Paul George and how. And
what happened?
The whole nother. Well, Paul George used to date.
Oh.
His daughter and now.
Oh.
Yeah, and Seth Curry married to Doc Rivers. It's crazy.
Oh, it's a whole mental thing.
It's a whole mess. But that may be one of the reasons that he's not hooping. But I also kind of want to put emphasis on what happened with, I don't know if everybody knows, but the Montrezl Harrell and Luka Doncic situation that happened in game 3.
Yeah.
Don't call Luka. You know what he said. He going to drop 40 on your head top. He going to drop 40 on your head top.
I mean, and we've seen, like, we've known Luka as this nice guy. You know, in every slow motion clip of him hitting a shot, he's saying something.
He's demonstrative, man. He's saying something.
He's crazy.
I love it.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to try and Tony Kukoc this dude. Like, and I was, you know, I was doing research, and he had been – and he, throughout the course of this regular season, Luka had been a horrible three-point shooter in the clutch. And that was, you know, Dallas's main issue this whole year. They had not been able to close out games.
Yeah.
But I just knew the way he was cooking, he would be able to get a good shot off. But – I also question, you know, Kawhi Leonard and Doc Rivers for not putting Kawhi Leonard, their best defender, all-world defender, defensive player of the year, on Luka. Because who didn't know that Luka was going to take that last shot, right?
Right.
So they put little Reggie Jackson, who had got bopped by Luka at the end of the fourth quarter. And hit a step back, three for the win. And, you know, that's a game that people are going to remember for a long time.
Yeah. And I think it doesn't really get the credit it deserves because there's no fans.
Right.
You know, fans would have made that moment even crazier.
And that would have been at home, too. That's game 4.
You know,
either you win this game, you go, you tie 2-2, you lose, you go down 3-1. So it would have really been a tense moment. But, you know, that was a great moment for Luka that we won't forget because he's going to be the face of the league.
Yeah. Yeah. Him and Trey
and Jamal Murray and Giannis, that's
it's going to be fun.
This is going to be good hands.
Donovan
Mitchell.
Tatum.
He's going to be great. Yeah.
Forgetting about him.
So Luka's fantastic play during these playoffs brings up a question.
Okay.
And it kind of runs deep for the Dallas fan base and just overall team. Can Luka Doncic be the next Dirk Nowitzki?
No, but Porzingis can.
Yeah.
This is what I've been telling everybody who will listen to me in the last couple of days. The Mavericks have a second chance at the next Steve Nash and Dirk Nowitzki and Luka and Porzingis. I mean, you know, they got Steve Nash out of there. He left before he became the two-time MVP, literally the year after he left.
Yeah.
He won MVP and won MVP again. And I think that they have a second shot at that because I think Luka will probably be better than Steve Nash because he has what Steve Nash has with his vision, his passing ability, but he's also bigger. So he's like Larry Bird, I guess, you know. And I feel like Porzingis, he's great. If he adds on a little bit more muscle, he'll be even more dominant. But
yeah,
those two guys, I think, in the next couple of years will win at least two championships, maybe with them.
And I think all around the Mavericks just have a solid group of guys, you know.
They do. Hardaway's good. Finney Smith's good. Curry's great.
Boban. he's the man. He's the man.
Yeah, and I think Dallas is going to be a attractive free agent spot for guys in the next coming years.
Who
wouldn't want to play there now?
Yeah.
And just the fact that Luka's doing this all in his first ever playoff series is just showing a lot. And I'm not trying to get ahead of myself, but I wouldn't be surprised if Dallas beat the Clippers.
We'll see tonight.
We'll see tonight, right? This will be
here.
Game 5 is deciding game.
Yeah.
here's the reason why Dallas has a very strong probability to win this series. It's not because, you know, they have just a great overall team and they have guys who can work well together. And it's not necessarily because of Paul George's erratic playoff play. But I think what is going to end up happening is the Clippers as a team are just going to shut down. With no anchors like Patrick Beverley, and people are, you know, obviously trying to look up to Kawhi and Paul George because they're these playoff vets and they're really good. But the fact of the matter is Dallas is playing better team basketball.
Yeah, I agree with you. And Doc Rivers said after game 4 that his team was emotionally weak, which is not what you want to hear out of a team of veterans.
No.
Let alone a team's coach.
Right. Team's coach, yeah. So I feel like Dallas has what it takes to exploit the weak spots of the Clippers. And I think, you know, I'm not trying to get too far ahead of myself, but if they beat the Clippers, I can easily see the Mavericks beating the Jazz or the Nuggets.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. Easy. No doubt.
Easy.
If they can beat the Clippers in 6 or 7 games, they will have a shot at beating the Lakers. Now, playoff LeBron, the Lakers are playing great basketball. They had that one hiccup in game 1, but it's been all control of the Lakers. I believe they've taken a commanding 3-1 lead up on the Portland Trail Blazers. And obviously, you know, Damian is not doing so well physically. You know, he's had some injuries this series.
Shoulders hurt. Carrying.
Carrying, yeah.
But
he's falling apart.
Yeah.
But what they did in game 1 was they just picked apart the Lakers. They from the jump, they saw all the weaknesses inside the Lakers' offense, and they acted upon it. Now, here's where the genius coaching of Frank Vogel and you know, the superstar power that they have on their team comes in. When they realize that they're being picked apart as well as they did in game 1, they will make changes. And sometimes the changes that you have to make in order to elude people picking your team apart on offensively and defensively is very minor. And I think that the switch that they made was Frank Vogel got LeBron and AD and some of the other, you know, better role players into a room, and they were just like, what went wrong? And they just fixed it, because that's what great basketball teams do. That is something that, you know, the 1990 Bulls would do when they lost a big game. You know, it happens to them all. It happens to them all. But the great teams come together, they fix it, and you can see the improvement, and you can see how they've benefited from that. And they're looking like a championship team.
Yeah.
And you know, LeBron, he's gonna talk to his guys. He's gonna rally his troops. If you ever seen clips of LeBron in the locker room, you know, he's gonna say what he needs to say. He knows what he has to say to get his guys to do what they should be doing.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you're gonna get maybe 1 or 2 games out of the Lakers. They might not have it every game, but as soon as he has to, LeBron is gonna flip the switch and wrap up that intensity. And it's just, he's tough. It's LeBron. You
know, like I said,
playoffs. And I think he's going to do everything this year that he can, you know. Yesterday was 824. You know, RIP my man Kobe. I think he's going to do everything that he can to bring a championship, you know, this year to the, since,
like I said,
his friend.
Like I said in a previous episode, LeBron or AD are not going to let their team lose in the first round.
It's true.
There's no way.
Yeah.
There's absolutely no way. It's They're definitely not going to let them lose to a team like the Trailblazers who are being carried.
Absolutely not. You know, the Blazers can't defend. I'm sorry. They can't play defense. They're one of the worst defensive teams in the league, one of the worst defensive ratings. And if you let LeBron and Anthony Davis get cooking, it's a wrap. Just wrap it up and just put it away.
Yeah. So I think, you know, we kind of broke down NBA playoffs. Recently, NBA draft lottery. Us Bulls fans got a little lucky. Got a little bit lucky. The fourth
I don't want to talk about it.
The fourth pick. Trevor, what are we going to do with the fourth pick?
There's so many ways you could go with that. So many. I mean, I feel like the Bulls should draft LaMelo. Hear me out. I've seen the way.
I agree. I love LaMelo.
The Thunder have performed with their three-guard lineup with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Chris Paul, and Schroeder. And I feel like the Bulls could pull that off because Melo's 6'8", Levine's 6'5", 6'6", and you have Kobe White, who's 6'3", and they're all super athletic. And I feel like that could work. You know, if you – I don't know, is Otto Porter's contract up?
Hopefully.
I think if his contract's up, they could, you know, try and bring in a small forward for him. And I feel like the Bulls could sneak into that eighth spot next year.
Well, that's what our new GM's going to do. There are rumors that, you know, we're going to try to bring in Ben Simmons or something like that.
That'd be sick.
Trade our fourth pick. But, you know, I like drafting. I do too. I like seeing a new guy and, you know, unless it's Giannis or someone big, you know, I don't really care. I want to draft someone because, you know, we have the fourth pick and there are really like four or five good players in this draft, you know. And a lot of people are sleeping on this guy, Denny Avdija. I mean, people are sleeping on this guy. This dude's legit.
He's next. He's next up. He's going to be the next really good European player.
Yeah, he's like Luka. He's the same kind of style.
Yep.
You know, and I think also, you know, people sleep, I guess, on Obi Toppin. That dude's really a beast.
Big O from USC, he's really good.
Yeah.
There's a lot of guys that have potential, but there are about five sure picks, you know.
Yeah.
And it's kind of annoying that the Warriors get the number two pick. Like, really? They're going to be back in the finals.
You think they'll trade it?
Depending on who they can get for it, maybe. But if they play their cards right and get Edwards or Wiseman, it's over.
I don't think they should trade it.
I don't get it.
I think it is almost certain that they trade it.
Really?
But why would you trade a pick if you can get – because, like, you're not going to have Steph and Clay and Draymond forever. Okay. You know, if you get a guy and take him to the finals now, first year experience in the finals.
Hear me out. The Minnesota Timberwolves are almost certain to take Anthony Edwards. Yep. Okay, he fills a massive hole in their team. Yep. And he, quite frankly, could be the best player in this draft class.
Yeah.
He's not a very defensively sound player, but with a
Nor
few
is anyone
minor,
in the NBA. Nor 90%.
That's true. But with a few minor touches and in a good offseason, he can switch that around. The Warriors will trade their pick because next season they're going to have a healthy team. You underestimate the power that Andrew Wiggins can do for their team. Okay, LaMelo Ball, if they were to take him, would be playing the exact same role as Wiggins. And Wiggins is a more developed, better defensively sound, and a more experienced NBA player. That's the trajectory that I see the Warriors taking. So they're going to have Steph running the point, Clay shooting at one of the guards, and Wiggins, that's going to be, you know, kind of their front court. Yes, they could take Wiseman. James Wiseman would not be a bad pick. They're kind of struggling with the center position. But if they could trade the two overall pick for like a guy like 6'10 to 7 feet, maybe even 6'9, who can play a forward or a shorter center, who is already developed, who can provide a little bit more defense, maybe a rim protector.
Andre Drummond.
Like an Andre Drummond.
Say that. Yeah.
I just
like an Andre Drummond, like a Al Horford who is regressing.
No,
but
not Al. Well,
he's not worth the second overall pick.
Absolutely.
Okay. Andre Drummond might not even be either, but what they're trying to do.
No, but then you get that fourth. You get that fifth. Trying to do it.
The Warriors are trying to get back into the finals.
Yes.
If they do not think that a rookie center like James Wiseman, who is a rim protector, which is what they need, but at the end of the day, he's an undeveloped player. He did not play college. And, you know, overall, he's sort of a hit or miss player, unlike a guy like Anthony Edwards, unlike a guy like Danny Avdija. That's why I think that they will trade it.
I mean,
I think that they're going for development.
I can see where you're going with that. But also I can see, because, you know, Curry and Clay and those guys and Draymond, they're not going to be around for too much longer. So the fact that they traded for
– I don't even think Draymond will start.
Really? Okay. That's crazy. He averaged a triple single this year. In the words of Chuck, he averaged a triple single. He was not But I feel like if you can get a center in the draft and get him good, that's you can build your team around that
in
the years to come after these guys leave. So if you have a core of Wiggins and like James Wiseman in 3 years and you can get guys that want to come to a championship story franchise like the Warriors, why not take it?
Yeah.
Because a center in the draft is one of the hardest things to hit on.
Yeah.
So Wendell Carter.
Here's what I want to see the NBA going within the next few years. Previously in the NBA, you see all these stars going number one overall, and they're all centers. For instance, you have guys like Hakeem Olajuwon, Shaquille O'Neal, et cetera, et cetera.
Duncan.
And for the last, you know, probably 5 to 10-ish years, it's been guards and maybe some shorter forwards. And I think that if you're talking about a value-based draft, if you're going to value your pick and you're going to take the value of your pick and translate it into the value of a player, I really want to see centers being taken earlier. And that's why I like James Wiseman. James Wiseman is one of my favorite prospects. But I really want to see the NBA going into a more big man, you know, big man route in terms of draft quality.
Like I said, and I completely agree with you because it's so hard to hit gold on a big man. So if you can, if your scouts are good enough and you can find that, then yeah, it's worth taking really early because it's super valuable.
Absolutely. All right. Well, thank you so much, Trevor, for being on the show. If you stuck around to the end, thank you so much for listening. You can find us on Instagram at the 312 show. You can listen to our podcast wherever you get your podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Stay tuned on our Instagram for a special announcement coming up. This has been the 312 show.